Greeting, Earthlings. We have now taken over your radio.
Welcome to the Jayhawk Talk Podcast, up to episode 21, Sweet 16 edition. We wanted to come back to you pretty quick with another podcast, this time previewing the Michigan game coming up this Friday. Andrew, how you doing?
I'm doing pretty good. We're doing these 2 days in a row. You know, kind of had to get a good rest or good sleep last night.
Mm-hmm.
To get some rest. Had to stay in a hotel in Kansas City. You know, kind of like the Big 12 tournament. You're playing back-to-back days.
Right.
We're doing back-to-back podcasts. Really got to take some effort to get your body right, mm-hmm. get your mind right. You know, this is tough stuff.
No cramps. You got to keep fluids in you. You got to get the Gatorade going. Now I feel good though. I feel loose and ready to get this thing going. So today we're going to talk about the tournament in general, what we've seen so far and what we expect to see. We're going to look back a little bit at some of our favorite memories so far, a little Marshall Henderson, a little Dunk City. And also look forward to, you know, what it takes to succeed in the tournament, and then close with a bunch of Michigan talk. So let's just get right into it. The tournament in general, is this kind of what you expected so far? We've, you know, for as many upsets as there's been, there still feels like it's almost a little chalky so far. What is this kind of what you expected?
I think so. I think, you know, the main teams are in it: Louisville, Indiana, Florida. And obviously the Jayhawks, the teams you expected to be there, Ohio State. And, you know, we kind of expected some of these teams to lose too, like Gonzaga. You could see them losing early, and they did.
Right.
Couple upsets like Georgetown, but, you know, they're also a team that's prone to lose early. We didn't know they'd lose to Florida Gulf Coast, but, you know, that's something you could have seen happen. So there's been some surprises, but generally you can, you know, this is a typical tournament. Been pretty fun, I think.
The Florida Gulf Coast is obviously the story of the tournament so far. First 15 seed to make it through the weekend. And, you know, they'll be facing up against Florida, an in-state school. I don't know if you saw their little pep rally they did.
I heard about
on
it.
On ESPN.
Cut to it at the wrong time.
Right. So their coach is out on the court, you know, the whole student body's in the gym, and he's out there, you know, doing a little preview, and the student body breaks out into a F Florida or F the Gators or F the I don't remember what it was chant, and ESPN's just sitting there like, and here's the FGC student body pep rally, and it's like this purest day. You can hear the F the Gators. It's pretty funny. So. Anyway, I do like their swag. Obviously, the student body shares the same sentiment. Do you think they can win?
You know, they're not a typical Cinderella, because when you think of Cinderella, not to bring up painful memories, but you think of teams that make a bunch of threes like Northern Iowa or, you know, a couple teams like that. You expect them to just get crazy hot from three. This team is not anything like that.
No.
You know what? Florida is kind of a team that shoots a lot of threes. So it's kind of a role reversal where the Cinderella is the team that, you know, going inside, not afraid to put it on the block. And Florida's the team that's shooting threes. So, you know what? I didn't think they'd beat San Diego State. Yeah, of course they have a shot to win.
How much fun would that be if they made it through? And Kansas made it flip through. I want to see that game so bad.
Oh, yeah.
That would be so much fun.
You know, playing Florida would be good, too. We got to get there first. I think both. Either way.
Well, are there any other storylines throughout the tournament that have kind of caught your eye other than the obvious FGC one?
Well, I think that one of my main regrets about doing this Vegas trip was that I didn't get to go to Kansas City. Because I didn't get to party with Marshall Henderson. it's kind of a bucket list thing. Can you imagine? You know, that's got to be on it. Like, if you party with Marshall Henderson, kind of a divisive figure. If you don't know, I'm sure all of you do know who he is, but he is a gentleman. He's a gentleman, right? You can classify him as a gentleman.
I think so.
He's a gentleman. from Ole Miss, from University of Mississippi. He has a bit of a rap sheet, and his kind of calling card is that he taunts the opposing crowd or taunts student sections. And it kind of came out this weekend. So after the win against who they beat, the first round, whoever they beat. Oh, Wisconsin. After they beat Wisconsin, he went out to the Power and Light District and was drinking at McFadden's. And of course, those pictures hit the internet in 2 seconds. He's not going to get any anonymity there. Then they played LaSalle and lost. And as he left the court, kicked a big water jug and give the old two-finger salute to the Sprint Center crowd. So, you know, quite the gentleman, quite the scholar. I'm just disappointed that I did not get to party with this guy at the Power and Light.
Okay, so here's the question everyone's saying, you know, is he a punk? Is he a guy that's bad for college basketball? Or are those two things, you know, mutually exclusive? Can a guy be a punk and simultaneously awesome for college basketball?
Oh, yeah. He's totally a punk. Of course he is. He'd probably tell you he's a punk. But he got everybody talking about him, didn't he?
That's right.
Like, we're talking about him on a Jayhawk podcast. When would he ever talk about Ole Miss?
Right.
Like, you know, what would have to happen in a million years where we would talk about Ole Miss? Well, this kind of crazy guy comes along, read a good little piece in Deadspin talking about, kind of comparing him with Tyrann Mathieu, the Honey Badger from LSU.
Mm-hmm.
And if you think about it, the stuff that Marshall Henderson did was probably way worse than just Tyrann Mathieu smoking marijuana.
Mm-hmm.
But we kind of... Some people demonized Tyrann Mathieu, but were kind of giving Marshall Henderson a pass, giving him a pass here. So it's an interesting thing to talk about, but I think it's more of a media thing, not necessarily what you and I personally think about it.
I think you're right. I think it's exactly a media thing.
But it's funny either way. I think he's a funny guy. I think he's doing it to get a laugh, and even though he's kind of emotional, I did hear one kind of funny thing that they play better in the second half because in the second half you go, your goal is the side of your bench. So when they're on that side of the court in the second half, the coach is able to talk to him on offense and calm him down. And he plays better when the coach is calming him down like that. I thought that's kind of crazy. You wouldn't necessarily think that it's like a therapy session that he has to have in the second half to make him play better. But if you kind of look at the statistics, it works out that way.
That's funny. He's a lightning rod. I thought he was freaking fantastic. I thought he was great for college basketball. He was a punk, but in such a magically awesome way to me. It's the only way, like you said, Ole Miss gets on the map. I think it was a risk that they took by taking the kid in, and a risk, even, you know, bigger risk that they let him kind of be himself. But like you said, how else would we be talking about Ole Miss? They may have not even made the tournament if it weren't for this kid. I mean, just because everyone wanted to see him in the tournament. And it's kind of sad that he's not there, although I don't know. It's probably about the right exit for him.
Well, he'll be back next year. He's a junior.
Right. But I mean, just for this season. So are there any other storylines that kind of caught your eye? Obviously LaSalle is a big one. And, but I don't know, to me, the tournament is kind of playing out a lot how people saw it playing out. The only reason I say that is because, like you said, a lot of the ones and twos are still around. The ones and twos that people expected to be there are still around. New Mexico and Gonzaga were the two that I don't think would surprise anybody that they're early exits. So it's going to be a lot of fun, especially after this weekend, to see who shakes out of these brackets. Where do you think the tournament is going? I mean, do you think anything has changed from what we've seen in the past 2 years? Obviously the first four in, but is there anything, I guess, that kind of jumps out at you that you've seen? Are you a fan of the first four and things like that?
I'm not a fan of the first four, just because the 64 is so pure and it's easy to understand. You know, 2 times 2 times 2, you know, you just keep expanding out.
When
you
add with brackets. I don't know if you know this.
We've talked about this.
64, I'm so good with, though.
It's hard for Kevin to imagine things. If it's on paper, he can see it.
That doesn't sound like me.
Yeah, close enough.
Was that so me?
I think it's just, it's a purity thing, you know, and so they added the 65 so they can keep the automatic qualifiers at the same level. So they added the play-in game. And then I don't know what they're going to do with the addition of a new conference, because they're going to have to eliminate one more at-large, because we're going to get the America East or Big East or whichever one you consider the new one.
Mm-hmm.
And so I don't know. I would prefer them not to have it, but whatever. We've seen teams advance. You know, we've seen LaSalle advance, and unfortunately we saw VCU advance.
Right.
But otherwise, the tournament's great. Keep it the way it is. Allow Charles Barkley to be on it.
Yeah, those NBA guys are actually kind of cool. I didn't like the idea at first, but I don't know. I think they bring a different element. I think it's kind of cool.
Another thing that I heard that I agreed with, so whoever's idea this was that I'm stealing, I can't give you credit because I don't remember, but having those NBA guys there kind of gives an objective perspective, because they don't have to have a relationship with some of these coaches. Mm-hmm. They can say whatever they want. Like Fran Fraschilla has a relationship with every coach in the Big 12. Right. You know, he's got to maintain that. So if he says something crazy, you know, or off his rocker, or, you know, something that he believes, but shouldn't say, you know, he's going to lose some credibility or some relationship with a coach.
Right.
Whereas Charles Barkley, what does he care? He'll say whatever he wants to say.
Right. No, I think that's a good point. Do you think the old mantra of, you know, guard play is what wins in March, do you think that is still accurate? And I guess the reason I kind of ask is, you look at this team, this KU team, guard play hasn't been our strength. It has been the play of Withy recently that's kind of been the big strength. But and, you know, our wings have been pretty good, but our guards haven't been great. So do you think it will take, you know, excellent guard play to continue to win, or can we win kind of the way we have been?
I think we can win the way we have been. I think someone said it. I think it was even Elijah. But when you get to the Final Four, it's a big man's game, because if you don't have big men, then that's the advantage that's going to be exploited. If you think about it, think of the big men in last year's tournament. Obviously, we had T-Rob and Wiffy. Anthony Davis was on the other side. You know, Gorgui Dieng from Louisville was on the other on the other side of the bracket. Then you had Jared Solinger, Deshaun Thomas for Ohio State. All of these guys ran through the big men. Like, mm-hmm. those were big, strong, athletic post guys. Like, you don't see a whole lot of inexperienced or no post guy make it that far, just because it gets to be that important.
Right. No, I'm kind of with you there. Now, I do think the guards are going to play a huge role, because our guards, while they don't have to win us the game, they can't lose us the game. And that's the difference, what we've seen so far with turnovers and things like that. If they can play their game and, you know, be creators for everybody else, and I'm looking at Nadir and Elijah here, that will be enough. You know, I don't think they have to score 20 points apiece and be able to get off the dribble and things like that. So it will be interesting to see, especially this matchup coming up with Michigan. What do you say we get right into that? You know, Michigan's obviously a very guard-laden team, where they have that, you know, prototypical March setup where they have a creator for a point guard that can really get to the rim and get everyone else involved and things like that. Whereas, you know, you look at Kansas, you got the strength is down low and the strength is in the defense and rebounding and things like that. So it's going to be a really cool matchup of styles. Are there any thoughts just on the style play that's going to happen here between Kansas and Michigan?
Well, Michigan likes to shoot a lot of outside shots. So, I mean, that doesn't necessarily translate to Withy controlling that, because they're going to take those shots. However, you know, the staple of Kansas defense for the past 10 years has been just not giving up easy shots. So we're going to make him shoot hard mid-range jumpers. We're going to make him try to shoot threes, contested threes. And then we're going to try to get easy buckets down low. I think that's really where it's going to end up being. If they can make shots, it's going to be tough for us. But if we're making it hard on them, you know, it's going to be a game. We're going to be competitive in it.
I agree. Who do you think will be guarding Trey Burke? Do you think we'll put Relaford on him to start off? Because he's, I mean, that's a tough matchup. He's a fast.
No, I think it'll be Elijah.
Okay.
Elijah's fast enough. And you know, Trey Burke's 6 foot tall. Travis will have to guard Tim Hardaway Jr. You know, Tim Hardaway Jr. is 6'6".
Mm-hmm.
Definitely, you know, if you can take him out of the game, yeah, he'll be, you know, that helps your defense out, you know, a ton. If you can just eliminate him with kind of like Relaford did with the North Carolina guy who might, I'm blanking on his name.
I am too, but that guy.
Yeah, yeah. So, you know, and then I think you see Ben on Nick Stauskas, because Ben's pretty good on, you know, spot up shooters. Kind of like think of it as Brady Heslop. If Ben guarding Brady Heslop, he shut him down, you know, except for that one game. But, you know, so think of it as a spot up shooter, Ben guarding him. And then down low, you know, you just have your typical guys, you know, Withy guarding
McGarry
and our four, either Perry or Kevin guarding Glenn Robinson the third. So, you know, I think we line up pretty well against him defensively. We just kind of got to put it together.
It wouldn't surprise me to see Self do some switching on Burke, where we might have, you know, Elijah start off on him and then Relaford guards him. And then, you know, they kind of move things around. Tharp goes on him just to keep our guys fresh, because he is, I mean, he's one of the best players in the country, if not the best player in the country. He's probably going to win a lot of postseason awards for MVP in college basketball. So Burke is really the guy that scares me a little bit, only because I think he is good enough that he can get into the lane past our guards and shoot over and around Withy, or get Withy in foul trouble, or get into the paint and dish to, you know, a guy who's had to, we've had to had some sagging help defense. So he scares me a lot, just because I do think he will be able to get by our guards. And what happens from there, that matchup of him kind of getting in the paint and what he does with it is I think a big key to the game. Are there any other keys, you know, stops or things like that that you're going to be watching for, keys to this game?
Well, I think let's look at the offensive end. Ben McLemore on Nick Stauskas. If Nick Stauskas is guarding McLemore, which, you know, they could move stuff around, but whoever is guarding Ben McLemore has to, you know, do a lot of work. Ben McLemore's got to take it, because he's going to have some kind of advantage on whatever wing is guarding him. He's got to be aggressive offensively, because whoever is guarding him is going to have fits with him, and he's got to get it going. He has to play well in this game for us to win.
Yeah, I agree. I mean, we've shown that we can win without him, but now we're getting into big boy ball, and we need, I mean, let's just be honest, we need double digit points from him this game, or we're not going to win. I mean, I really don't feel comfortable without Ben giving us some production. The worst part is he has been so efficient all year long with his scoring, his field goal percentage and things like that. And he's, you know, he cost us with this 0-for-9 game, the last game. He cannot do anything like that. We're going to need some production from him. And he's been bringing it on defense. He's been bringing it rebounding and things like that. But we're going to need him on offense. I totally agree. What about Withy? Is that kind of the big one that jumps out to you? That's, I guess, seems to me like the best matchup we're going to have, because Withy versus another big guy who doesn't stretch him out of the paint. He's got to be salivating there. He doesn't have to go guard a guy shooting threes.
Well, I think so. I mean, just remember back to the tournament last year. We didn't win the national championship game, but Withy shut down Anthony Davis. So yeah. I don't think Mitch McGarry is going to be this huge offensive threat. Or, I mean, it's not going to be
he's not.
This huge thing we should be worried about. I think that it's going to be good for him to be down low, you know, be a rim protector. But, you know, on the offensive end, he's going to have a big body guarding him.
Right. Well, and hopefully a big body that's not going to have, pull a bunch of double teams hopefully they start to, or they think that maybe early on in the game, at least, that they're going to try Mitch against Withy straight up. And I do like that matchup. Michigan seems like a team that's very similar to North Carolina in some ways, in that they, you know, have a lot of finesse. They, you know, are a jump shooting team, like to get out and run, probably a much better version of that North Carolina squad, but they've had some difficulties with, you know, good solid defenses this year. I mentioned it yesterday, but they are 2-4 against KenPom top 10 rated defenses, of which KU is part of that. That I think is kind of the biggest matchup question, you know, a team that can get out and run and try to get out in transition versus a tough-minded defensive team. Personally, I like the defensive side of it better. But if you have to match up against a team like that, what, you know, who do you think has the upper hand? One that can certainly get out and score at will, or one that brings it on defense?
I think the team that brings it on defense is the team I'd choose, and maybe that's self-serving because that's our way, but it's something you can always rely on. If you can have strong defense, you're always going to be in the game. If you have a strong offense and it's not clicking, you may get blown out because your defense can't handle it. So I'd take the defense, and you know, it's going to keep us in the game. It's going to keep us competitive.
Well, let's throw some numbers out there. Bill Self and his coaching history is 8-0 against the Wolverines. That includes games when he was at Tulsa, Illinois, and Kansas. These guys for Michigan have never, this particular team, none of them had ever played in the second weekend of a tournament. So this will all be their first Sweet 16. That I talked about this with Brady, which we'll be talking about later on. But what do you think experience-wise? You know, this KU team has obviously played in a lot of domes and played in these big games. Do you think that will be a big factor versus Michigan, who has not, or do you think that's kind of overblown?
I think it's going to be a factor. Just playing this late with this amount of pressure, I don't think experience wins you the game, but I think it gives you a little extra. You know, you're not going to win just because you've been there before, but you've got the little extra. We've played in domes before. You know, we played in last year in the dome on the raised floor, and this is going to be in Cowboy Stadium, which is going to be enormous with 100,000 people, or you know, a place that can hold 100,000 people. So I mean, just being familiar with it, I think gives you a little comfort, and I think with a little comfort, your shot maybe goes down a little bit easier. You know, a few things, you're not as tight, you're not as nervous. So I think you always take experience there. But that being said, it means nothing when, you know, the ball's thrown up in the air.
Yeah, I'm right there with you. The thing that Kansas has going for it versus Michigan in that department is we try to take a little bit of high, or take more high percentage shots. We try to get to the rim, try to, you know, get the ball down low versus jump shots. And, you know, when you're in a dome and you're not used to it, that 10-foot rim looks a little different than it usually does. So I do like the matchup on that front. Are there any particular matchups, you know, person versus person, that you are watching closely in this game? Is it Mitch McGarry versus Withy? Is it, you know, Burke versus our guards? Is there something that kind of jumps out to you?
I'll say something differently. I think it's Withy versus Burke. You know, obviously Withy's not going to guard Burke, but if Burke gets to the rim, how Withy deals with it. That's I think something that I'm going to be looking at, because if he disrupts Burke from what he normally does, makes him take some weird pull-up shots, makes him turn around like he's, you know, prone to have point guards do, mm-hmm. I think that we're going to be in a better position. So I think that's the matchup you look for. Well, it's not a direct this guy guarding this guy.
No, I 100% agree with you. That's exactly what I said too. Withy is going to be the key to this game. And he's been the key to pretty much every game the last 5 or 6 or 7 or 10. But he is our wild card. He is something that no one else has in this tournament. A rim protector, a true rim protector who can really keep everybody away from the basket. And the best part is he's not getting tired. you know, these long timeouts in the tournament. He's not having to sit much. If he can stay on the court and stay out of foul trouble, I really do like our chances with him in there. And I think you're right. I think the key to this game is making sure that they're not getting good looks from outside. If we can do that, and if we can control the paint and the rebounding, which we should, I do think that KU looks good here. The one thing that concerns me is just our turnovers, because we have had 22 and 19 or something like that the last two games. Michigan only turns the ball over 9 times a game on average, so they're one of the best in the country in that department. That's a lot of possessions that, if we're turning the ball over a lot and they're not, is something that scares me a little bit. But if we can take care of the ball and pound the ball down low, I do like our chances. Do you want to throw out a prediction? Is this something that you're willing to do? Is it a tournament thing? Maybe
of course I will. I don't care. I think we'll win in a close game in the 70s.
I did see that Vegas had us as a very small favorite. I can't remember what it was, but 1 or 2.
It's either 1.5 or 2.
Yeah. Depending on how you look at it. I think that's about right. I do like our chances in this game. I don't know why I'm feeling a little more confident in this game, probably, that I should. And usually I'm not this time of year. Usually I'm the other side because I'm scared or whatever. But I just like the matchup. I like, Withy being part of this team. And I think we pull it off too. So that's a little scary that we're both on the same page here. But I think we win this game by 3 or 4 points. So it comes down to free throws late, get Nadir and Ben in there, who haven't missed many free throws. I do like our chances. So anything else you want to talk about before we get Brady in here?
Yeah. Real quick, what sound do you think Wolverine makes?
I don't know. What sound do you think?
Just give me your best impression.
I don't even know. Just do a noise.
Do a noise, Kevin.
I don't want to do a noise. It's not a cat. It's like a... What is a wolf? Like
whatever little creature.
It's like a growl. Like a growl.
Is that all you got?
I don't fucking know. I got nothing. Right. What do you think a Wolverine makes?
This is the best I got. Is ching. You know, like Wolverine from X-Men.
Like an X-Men thing.
That's what I got. That's the best I got. Cause
I like mine better.
I don't know anything about Wolverines. Yeah, I don't like yours better. Yours was awful.
I disagree with you right now.
Mine had a little humor built into it.
Mine was awesome because it was a Wolverine. Yours was a Kling. Yours was metal.
Yeah, it's totally different. Adamantium, actually. Hey, let's talk to Brady.
Yeah, that's probably a good idea. Let's go to the loft.
To the loft.
All right. Well, it's been a long time. We've been talking about it forever. So happy to finally have Jay Brady McCullough on the Jayhawk Talk podcast. How you doing, Brady?
Doing good, Kevin. How about you?
I'm doing well, man. It's been a long time. I haven't heard that beautiful voice, and I can't even remember how long. It's been too long. That's all I know. I want to hear some thoughts on Michigan, but first I want to hear how things are going up there in Pittsburgh. As I understand, you are the sports features writer for the Pittsburgh Post-Gazette. How you liking the Berg?
I'm loving it, man. I'm loving it. It's been a good move. Definitely miss a lot of things about Kansas City and covering KU. Mostly just getting to cover games in Allen Fieldhouse and eat the best barbecue in the world and on a regular basis. Also, of course, my colleagues at the Star and all that, and they're continuing on doing great work. I hope everybody's enjoyed Rustin's work on KU because I think he's awesome. And Pittsburgh's great, though. This job, I got the freedom to kind of do everything that I want to do. Freedom is the main difference. Not being on a beat, I can pick off features on Steelers, Penguins, Pirates, high schools. I mean, whatever I think is a good story, I get to tackle it. And it's been a lot of fun, and you know, I like Pittsburgh too. It's a fun place as well.
Awesome. Well, I'm glad to hear you're doing well. We certainly miss you in Kansas City. Miss hitting up the shack, the Caddy Shack downtown for some late night brews. But Rustin's still holding down the fort down there, so you'll be happy to know that. Well, hey, we wanted to have you on not only just to catch up, but also to hear your thoughts on this Michigan team. Many of you probably know out there that Brady, while covering KU, was a big Michigan guy, went to Michigan, has covered or followed this team this year. And we've been kind of corresponding back and forth about how I didn't want to see Michigan and you didn't want to see KU in the tournament. Well, here we are. Why don't you just give us a couple minutes here just to introduce the team. You know, maybe talk about some of the strengths and the season that they've had so far this year, just kind of a refresher for KU fans to see what they got coming up.
I went to Michigan in 2000 and graduated in 2004. And, you know, for me, it's been a crazy season because this is the first time that we've had, we've made the tournament a few times under John Beilein, and that was exciting. And, you know, they played that kind of similar brand that he played at West Virginia with a kind of a gimmicky zone that 1-3-1, shot a lot of three-pointers, ran a lot of back cuts, you know, basically because we didn't have the talent at that point. But, you know, Beilein's a good coach, and he got us to some tournaments. But you still knew going into the tournament that if we made the Sweet 16, it was just a huge accomplishment with those teams, and we didn't make it. This is the first season where Beilein's actually had the talent to do something big. And so it's been fun to watch. You know, Michigan plays mostly man-to-man now. You know, brought in Mitch McGarry, Glenn Robinson III, you know, Nick Stauskas, freshmen who all get a ton of time and are now all starting along with Trey Burke and Tim Hardaway Jr. So you've got a talented lineup that can, you know, switch to a real man-to-man defense, that can play more freewheeling on offense. Obviously an offense totally built around Trey Burke and his ability to run the pick and roll and get in the lane and dish to shooters or find a little shot for himself there. You know, it's just been interesting seeing what Beilein's, you know, working with actual talent. This is more talent than he's ever had as a coach. And so I think it's been kind of a process, and they haven't been very good on man-to-man defense all year. When they really fell apart in Big Ten play, it was because they just couldn't get stops. And they, you know, it looked like it was a young team kind of running into a wall of just not being able to do the little things, you know, not getting enough rebounds. The rotations on defense were sorry. And so for a while it got real frustrating. And I think this last weekend, as the Michigan people are obviously hopeful that was a sign that we've turned the corner and are actually going to play our best ball, or are playing our best ball in the tournament after really undergoing some pretty frustrating, experiences in the last like month or two of Big Ten play.
Right. And as you mentioned, obviously Trey Burke is the, kind of the Cadillac of your team, leads the team from the point and comes off those screens, and great shooter and creator for himself. Is that the guy that, you know, will kind of make or break the team, or is it, you know, enough of a cast of characters around him now that, he can survive maybe not playing his best and seeing, I guess what I'm asking is, can KU cut the head off the snake by pressuring the heck out of Burke, or is it pretty well balanced now?
Yeah, well, I mean, if you use last weekend as an indication, you know, he was 2 of 12 from the field against South Dakota State, didn't play very well, and Michigan won. The next day, he did have 7 assists. He also had 7 turnovers against that VCU, you know, Havoc, whatever they call it, press. Mm-hmm. I know KU fans are thankful to Michigan for freeing them of that. because I'm sure Elijah Johnson and Nidir Tharp would have had fun with that all afternoon. But it's Burke's obviously the key. It's just a matter of, I do think the supporting cast is better and is more ready, especially with Mitch McGarry. His emergence, I think, gives them a little more hope of of being able to bang with Withy inside. McGarry's got more bulk on Withy, but Withy obviously very good at not fouling and still getting block shots and all that. What I would say, I think the game probably comes down to, as odd as it sounds, I think it comes down to Trey Burke against Jeff Withy in the lane. I think that there's going to be a lot of you know, Burke and Withy kind of running into each other in there, and who's going to get the best of that? Is Trey going to be able to make good decisions in there, kicking out for open shots, dishing off to McGarry if Withy comes off of him, you know, things like that. And I think that's what it's going to come down to, is Trey's ability to manage KU's size once he gets in the lane.
Yeah, you know, I was a big fan of McGarry when, you know, he was a prep and KU had started to recruit him, and then there was the whole Caleb Tarczewski thing, and we kind of stopped recruiting him because we thought we had a 7-footer coming in and blah, blah, blah. Long story short, I actually watched McGarry play as an AAU player and was really impressed with him. One thing that, you know, I was kind of surprised that he started the year pretty slow, but throughout the year, he's really made a lot of progress and is, you know, I'm with you. I think he is a big part of this team now. That McGarry versus Withy matchup, what do you think that's going to be like? I mean, KU has struggled when there's a stretch five, a guy that kind of takes Withy away from the basket. McGarry doesn't seem like that kind of player. So I just wanted to get your thoughts on that, that 7-foot matchup.
Yeah. You know, he's not a stretch five, but what he is he's a skilled enough big, and he's also a major energy guy. Right. You know, he provides a ton of energy for us and did off the bench for most of the year. And now seems like he's learned how to harness it a little bit. And, you know, I think with Withy, McGarry's not going to be able to get Withy into foul trouble. I'd be very surprised. It'd be more likely to be one of the guards driving to get Withy in foul trouble. The biggest concern with McGarry is his foul trouble. Can he stay out of foul difficulties and be out there? Because otherwise, if they can get, and it's very, very likely I could see McGarry picking up two and fairly early in the first half, just the emotions of the game, being out there in that stage. And, you know, the question then is, then you go to the backup big guys, and there's John Horford, I believe a half brother of the NBA player Al Horford, but he's no Al Horford and pretty limited offensively. Another, he brings a lot of energy, pretty good rebounder, but I mean, he's out of his league with Jeff Withy. And then the guy that you'd want to take over for McGarry is the guy who started most of the year, Jordan Morgan. And Morgan had barely played 1 minute combined in the two tournament games because I wouldn't say he's in the doghouse, but he just hasn't been effective, and McGarry kind of took it over. So who knows where he is mentally. So one of my biggest concerns in this game is McGarry getting in foul trouble.
Yeah, well, that's one of ours too with Withy. So it should be interesting. I got to ask you, that little stretch there toward the end where Michigan kind of fell off a little bit, I noticed they were playing some of the KenPom, you know, highest rated defenses. And then I kind of went back and looked, and it looks like Michigan has gone 2-4 on the season against KenPom top 10 defenses. And KU is obviously among those top 10. Is that kind of one of the things that jumps out to you? Is maybe the reason you didn't want to see KU, or was it something else?
Well, that's definitely the reason. You know, obviously, having covered KU under Bill Self for 5 years, you know, I understand what he does as a coach. And it's certainly, we're a team that loves a game like that VCU game where we can get out and run and use our athleticism and have fun and throw lobs and all that stuff. It's when it gets tough, you know, is where we haven't shown a lot. You know, we haven't really answered the bell other than getting two wins at home against Michigan State and Ohio State in very, very tight games where we had to make plays at the end. But on the road, you know, against teams like that, not very good. I know what Bill Self, I know what that team's going to do, a senior laden team that knows how to defend and get up in guys' faces. And, you know, I expect Kansas to make more tough plays in this game than Michigan will make, just because of their experience and the way Bill Self coaches. And so, you know, that's the reason that it worried me. And then there's the other part of it, of I just didn't want to face Kansas because of, you know, 5 years covering the team and just like, you know, the one time Michigan makes the Sweet 16, you know, why do I have to play Kansas? You know, you guys have won plenty over the years. You know, it's my turn now. So it's a little bit like that too. It's just like, dang, why did it have to be Kansas?
I understand. Well, the thing that kind of scares me about you guys is that you have four guys that can launch a three. And it seems like whenever KU gets in trouble in the tournament, it's a team that's making their three-pointers. And so is that something that you also, you know, think is a key to this game, is Michigan's propensity to shoot the three and knock those outside shots down?
Yeah, well, I think the one thing that'll be interesting for both teams, you know, I think Michigan is certainly seems like a better offensive team and a better shooting team than KU. But both teams are going to be dealing with that, the shooting backdrop in Jerry World. And I don't know, I think KU's guys are more used to the dome atmosphere, the big stage, you know, type of deal, than our guys are going to be. So I'm really curious how the depth perception and all that kind of stuff is going to affect, our ability to shoot the long ball. And what I hope is that our guys are going to be aggressive and taking it to the basket, you know, even though with these there, I feel like you got to go at him and you can't let him totally change the way you want to play. And so I would hope in that dome that we're not going to go in trying to depend too much on the three pointer, but, we're going to have to knock some down to win the game. There's no doubt about it.
I think you're exactly right on the dome issue. You know, no matter how many times Bill Self says the rim's still 10 feet tall and blah, 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 it's a totally different thing shooting a ball in the dome. I went back and did some research just to see how many games this KU team has played in a dome the last couple of years and versus Michigan. And Michigan has actually played zero in a dome. Kansas has played 5 times in a dome. So there might be a little bit of a, at least experience factor there. But no, I'm exactly with you. I think that teams facing Kansas will always come out with the intent to drive the ball at Withy and drive the ball inside. And when they don't have success early, they abandon it. And I just don't think that's a way you can win against KU. You have to continue fighting, you know, taking it to the rim. And I think you're exactly right. I think that is one key for Michigan in this game. What do you think the experience factor will play in this game? Obviously KU's played a little bit more past that first weekend. None of the guys on Michigan has played in the second weekend of the tournament before. Does that come into play with this team, or do you think that that swag factor for Michigan is enough to overcome that?
Well, I mean, like everybody else, I've seen Kansas, you know, do their dances this year. So I don't think they're lacking for any swag. Might be the swaggiest team in basketball.
Oh, easy now. Easy now. We got Florida Gulf Coast out there. They're pretty swaggy right now.
That's a good point. They have the most swag in college basketball right now. And I think Michigan and KU are neck and neck for maybe number two, or at least the top five. I think both of them are high up there. I don't know. I think I've always been one to think that the mental state of a team is so big going into these games, and certainly from watching KU over the years. And so my big question is, where is Michigan mentally? Are they satisfied, or have they been celebrating a lot? You know, feeling, you know, a lot of pats on the back for making the Sweet 16 for the first time since 1994 as a, you know, institution. And, you know, KU is going to be hungry. KU lost in the national championship game last year. They want to win the national title. Michigan has been saying all year they want that too. They've been number one in the polls. When that happens, clearly the expectations go high. I'm just worried that after the season and the way it kind of fell apart a little bit in Big Ten play, that now that they made the second weekend, it'll be like, oh, whew, okay, you know, let's relax. We did it. Now we can just have fun. There's an element of that I like, which is they're not going to put a ton of pressure on themselves. They've, mm-hmm. they've already kind of surpassed what maybe some people thought from last weekend. So my hope is that they play. It's a Bill Self term. They play with a free mind, use their talent, go out, seize the moment, have fun. There really isn't a reason Michigan should be up tight in this game. So that is a good thing. I just wonder if KU, because of their seniors and because of the fact that they were so close last year, I have to assume that it's hard to say they want it more, because I know that Michigan got the guys want it, but you know what I mean. There's a different thing when you're senior and you've come that close to it.
Right. I'm with you. Now I understand that you're going down to Dallas to take in the games, not as a reporter, but as a fan of the Big Blue. How do you think the Michigan fans will travel down there? Do you think it'll be pretty well attended?
Well, I've got a bad feeling about it. Obviously, knowing how KU fans do it, you know, there's no telling how many people are going to be down there with the Texas connections and how many alumni are in Texas. And then also just Dallas isn't that far from Kansas City and Kansas. And so, I mean, obviously KU will dwarf what Michigan brings. There are a lot of Michigan alums in Texas. I hope they get off their butts and get over there. I'm coming down from Pittsburgh, and I've had it marked. If they make the Sweet 16, I'm going. You know, I've never gotten to see Michigan play in the tournament. I would think there'd be some excitement. People like me saying, "Gosh, you know, this is finally a chance to see our team play on a big stage." And you know, but judging from my friends, it was a process or a disappointing process trying to convince some of my buddies from college to take off work and spend, you know, $1,000 or whatever to come down to Dallas. So I don't know. I'm not going to expect too much more than what you would normally expect from, you know, a school like Michigan, you know, at a site that's very far away from home.
Right. I'm with you. KU does have a pretty good Dallas contingent. I think that's one reason that we wanted to be in the South is it's not a terrible drive from Kansas and, you know, 7 or 8 hours or something like that. And then obviously a lot of KU fans down there. So yeah, I do think that Michigan will get out there. I think KU fans will have more, but it'll be a fun game. Do you have any predictions you want to throw out there? Is that something that you're willing to do here?
No, man, no, I'm really superstitious about that stuff. especially with it being KU. I got 4,000 something Twitter followers that are probably mostly KU fans. So no, I'm just going to stay quiet, and I'm going to stay quiet during the game and just watch it. And, you know, obviously I've broken it down. I think it's really even. I think it's a pretty even matchup.
I do too.
For a 1-4, it's about as even as you could get, you know, based on the seeds. But I think everyone could say Kansas could easily be a 2. Michigan could easily be a 3.
Right.
You know, if a couple of things go differently, maybe they're the same seed. I mean, it's the difference is pretty slim. And, you know, I think the experience factor is, if I had to give an edge, you know, a reason that I would say Kansas, it would be that. But I'm not, and Withy, Michigan hasn't played a big guy like Withy. So, yeah, no, I'm not going to make a prediction. But I just hope it's an awesome game and a great display of what both teams can do.
I think it will be. I'm looking forward to it. It's going to be pretty exciting. Well, while I have you here, what are your thoughts on the old Florida Gulf Coast, potentially on the other side of the bracket there? Do you think they have a chance to upset Florida?
I mean, the team, like, was it, they lost to Lipscomb twice. I mean, yeah. It's just so bizarre, but yeah, I mean, what I wish is that game was first. So that,
yeah, I do too.
That game with the fun of knowing that, or not knowing whether that would be, you know, which team would be theoretically Michigan's opponent, you know, just same thing for Kansas. Like it'll take a little of the edge on fun off of that game. If Michigan has lost and yet I probably would stay and watch because it's history. It's Florida Gulf Coast against Florida. I mean, first 15 seed it's against a 3 seed and both from the same state. I mean, that's pretty awesome. From what I saw, they can do it. I think Florida is very beatable. Florida's shown all year if they get challenged, they're going to lose. So yep. If Florida Gulf Coast can challenge them into the second half, I certainly like their chances to pull it off.
Talk about pressure. I mean, Florida's under all the pressure there.
Yeah.
It's kind of funny. I mean, just before the ball's tipped, they have 100% of the pressure and Florida Gulf Coast has 0%. That's an easy way to play with a free mind.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, that'll be interesting. Well, hey, let's get you back in the good graces of Kansas fans while I have you. Tell me, why don't you tell me who your favorite player was to cover while you were at KU? And we're going to have one of these roundtables eventually sometime this offseason where we have you and Tolley on and maybe some other people to tell some stories from the road. But who was your favorite player to cover while you were at KU those 5 years?
Oh, man, that is a tough one. There were so many favorites.
I'll give you a couple if you need to.
No, I mean I'm choosing between one and a twosome that you can't separate.
I would say Tyshawn Taylor and the Twins.
Well, oh, that's good. See, that's what I mean. There's so many guys that I even forgot about Tyshawn, but Brandon Rush.
Oh yeah.
Jumps out at me. because that was my first year on the beat, and he was one of my first kind of in-depth interviews that I did. And just kind of as the year went on, just watching him, he's just hilarious. And, you know, Self, I'm sure, has told great stories over the years at various functions about Brandon, but just a hilarious guy, a real honest guy. But I do think that Morris twins are probably my number one. I mean, those guys, I mean, just what a trip. And then just watching them evolve from just total idiots freshman year into like all Big 12 type players as juniors was pretty cool to see. But yeah, I love Tyshawn. I feel like I raised him.
I think we all do. Like, it's just a little portion of every KU fan.
Yeah,
that's pretty funny. Yeah, what do you think of the twins playing together in Phoenix?
That made me so happy, and
I did too.
Yeah, Tully and I, like, the thing, like, and I talked to him about it, but we'd always said, like, the twins in their minds, like, they've always, like, thought that they're very special, and obviously they are pretty special guys for being the twins that they are and how good they are together and all that. But in their minds, I think they, like, thought that, like, as this was all starting, they were going to the NBA at the same time, and all that, well, like, of course we're going to end up playing on the same team. Like, in their minds, it was, like, predestined, I'm sure, like, that's just – the life just sort of works out for the twins, you know, is the way I think they kind of think of it. So they didn't realize that it's actually, like, the probability of them actually ending up on the same team at some point was, like, infinitesimal,
right.
You know, that it happened in, you know, year two of their professional careers is just, like – again, just like classic Morris twins.
Exactly. I think it'll be kind of fun to watch them. There was actually some article that just came out in the New York Times today about it. Did you see that? It was basically kind of an interview with them, and then also just their life in Phoenix together now, and then kind of looking back at other brothers that have played in the NBA. And they of course are living together in Phoenix. They had to play a best out of three video game to decide who has the master bedroom. And it was pretty funny. You have to check that out. Well, hey, man, we appreciate you coming on. Andrew's usually with me, but he couldn't make it for this. But we're going to add this to a podcast we're going to do a little later on tonight. So we truly appreciate you coming on. It'll be an interesting game. Good luck to your Wolverines, but not too much luck. We'll definitely have you back on here on the off season just to talk some more hoops.
Hey, sounds good, man. It's good to catch up.
Absolutely. Safe travels down to Dallas, and we'll catch up with you later on.
All right.
All right. Later on, Brady. All right. Well, it's good to have Brady on. We want to get out of here, but we want to make sure that we tell you guys to get to your lucky spots in front of your televisions. Andrew and I will not be going to the Heart Bar in Planet Hollywood, but we'll find lucky spots elsewhere.
We'll try to mimic it. We'll probably try to do the same things we did.
Yeah, I like
you know.
That.
And then, you know, cross the street, maybe?
I think I was drinking a Coors Light, and I was sitting on the edge of a couch.
So, but then if we need to change the halftime, we have to go across the street.
Yeah, I don't know my neighbors across there. They just moved in. But
well, make friends, Kevin.
I'm going to have to do that.
Make friends.
We can do that. But here's the good news. We're not going to be losing at halftime. We're going to be winning. I feel very confident that these guys are woken up fully from their first couple games slump. And I think it's going to be a lot of fun. Looking forward to it. Any last thoughts on the game before we get out of here?
Should be fun down there in Big D. If you get down there, maybe tweet us some pictures about this crazy Cowboy Stadium and how this is going to look with a basketball court. I'm not sure how it's going to go, but should be fun in either way.
Absolutely. Looking forward to it. It's going to be a fun weekend. We will be back this weekend, hopefully celebrating a victory over the Wolverines and even more hopefully previewing a game against Dunk City, Florida Gulf Coast, to get to the Final Four. We will catch you guys next time. Thanks again so much to Brady McCullough for joining us. Hopefully he has safe travels down to Dallas, but hopefully he goes home sad because KU has won. We will catch you guys later on. Cheer on those Hawks and rock chalk.
Hawks. I tried to tell them every time we on the court. I tried to tell them that we never coming up short. I tried to tell them that we came here to get the win. I tried to tell them that they should never let us in. They say that we the best, but I say we the greatest. That's why they try to knock us down and always seem to hate us. That's why they talk about us. They know they can never fade us. It's tradition and that Kansas pride that has truly made us. They know just how we feel. They know at Allen Field that we gon' keep it real. Shout out to Bill. This for them fans that waited off in them long lines, camped out before the games, and they stayed a long time. Every dollar that we spend just to watch our team win, on a Jayhawk shirt or a new clean Benz with a sticker on the back with the K and the U. Yeah, baby, that'll make you say, ooh. We at the top of the top, just like we should be. Started from the bottom, thanks to what James could see. Dr. Naismith made a game for man, changed lives for the players and did the same for the fans.
This for my Jayhawk fans, for my Jayhawks. This for my Jayhawk fans, for my Jayhawks. This for my Jayhawk fans, for my Jayhawks. Hawks.
And if you love it, then I love it, cause we Hawks,
this
baby.
This for my Jayhawk fans, for my Jayhawks. This for my Jayhawk fans, for my Jayhawks. This for my Jayhawk fans, for my Jayhawks.
Thanks for tuning in to another episode of the Jayhawk Talk podcast. We invite you to contact the show by tweeting me at Jayhawk Talk or at Andrew at Naismith Drive. You can also contact us via email at jayhawktalk@gmail.com. If you'd like to support the show, please just comment, rate, and subscribe to us on iTunes. Thanks again for listening, and we'll catch you next time. Rock chalk.